It's The Fake Show, starring Kendall Tenney and Jim Tofte, with our apologies to everyone. Today's special guest, comedian Carla Rae.
You can put on Carla, we're only set up for
right,
two.
I don't know that I really need headphones.
Well, really? Probably not. Yeah. I mean,
I don't need them.
We're really set up for just two people in here. So you're going to have to really sit on Kendall's lap
is how it comes down to.
Check, check.
That's way too loud.
Check. Yeah, I know. That's okay. Good. Okay.
Way Sue over made there. Some crackers and sausage. Maybe
over
you should
there.
Eat some so your breath
I
matches.
I know. It's nice that she put this up.
We had pumpkin bread last time.
It was phenomenal.
I see where I rank.
We can... Yeah. Well, this is
my rank. Crackers out of the box.
No, that meat is.
And
Kendall, this is Carla Rae. She used to work at News 3 where you worked. Do you remember that?
You worked
here
at Channel
town,
3
at the TV station.
Well, I got to be honest. According to a lot of people, I still do, and I know you do as well.
No,
Kendall.
People watch me every night.
I know they do. Where was I recently? Yeah, I think I was at a Trader Joe's doing some shopping, and a woman came up to me and said, "I just love you on the Wagners." And I said, "Well, thank you. I have a great time. I really do. I really." Are they as fun as they seem? I said, "They're even more fun. They really are. They're good people." And
well, she
for
is. Dana's kind of a.
Well, yeah, kind of a lug. But yeah, so and actually, I was one of their favorites, and so were you, Kendall Tenney. So
yeah.
So isn't you know, it how? Way.
When was the last time you were on TV, Carla? I mean, not just doing something special, but on News 3, your regular gig
for. Almost 4 years ago, yeah.
Isn't that amazing how far that carries you?
I know.
In recognizability, mm-hmm. TV.
Well, you know what's weird is Channel 3, I think more so than any other station, there was it's the NBC affiliate here. There's a familiarity there like no other station. I don't know why that is.
Now, does it help you as a comedian because people know you so much? And I think it was very smart of you, too, on the radio station that you're working at that shall not be named, you have put yourself up, you do a little video every morning, which is great. And a lot of people have commented to me that how much they look forward to that.
I do that because I know that job will not last forever, as most radio jobs
have found
don't.
Out.
It's true. They don't last forever. I mean, we've all, I remember being fired from a station, being let go. The chemistry wasn't there. It wasn't a bad thing.
You can never match how many times it's happened to me, though.
Well, yeah. And you know,
you didn't
I
have
was,
to agree with me
I,
that
no,
quickly.
No, I mean, you've been in the, at this
with
longer,
good reason.
Yes, you're older. That's of course you've been fired more times.
Yes, exactly.
I never liked you.
Exactly. But I the first thing I did was get calls from people I didn't even know in radio who were congratulating me. Way to go! Your first firing. I didn't know that that was a badge of honor. I had no idea that that was a badge of honor in the radio business.
I didn't
business.
Either, and it's happened to me six times.
You didn't get the calls?
No, oh. I didn't.
Well,
really?
You should get the Presidential Medal of Freedom at this point.
Yeah.
Do you know what's sad? I realized recently that I kind of... There are a lot of people who, whether they're on TV, whether they're on radio, if they're accountants, whatever it is, they will cross-promote in ways that are just amazing. In some ways, I've kept it separate. I mean, everybody knows I'm a comedian, but I don't I don't use that when I'm on stage as a comedian. Hey, you know what? I also do radio. Nobody cares. I mean, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean people who are watching you to see a comedian, they want to see comedy. They don't care. They really don't care. They don't care, Kendall, that maybe you know, that you're an anchor. They're seeing you do comedy right now. And in my opinion, it almost cheapens it a little bit. It's that whole,
Well, social media takes care of that, right? But they don't want to hear it up when you're up on stage.
No, I don't want to advertise. I'll let people know. I always let them know. But I don't, you know what? I'm there to be a comedian. That's what they paid for.
Right.
That's what people paid for. So I want to be funny.
Well, let's talk about me for a second. Now, you...
Okay. Always goes back, doesn't it?
Oh, always goes back. Doesn't how much do you miss me?
I miss you a ton. There's such a different dynamic.
Yeah.
With, you know, you and I both came from, I believe, really, we both came from talk radio. Not your hardcore... political talk, but entertaining,
top of mind, free form, conversational.
Yeah. Yes. And we went from talking a whole lot, no music where I came from, just music beds in and out of breaks, to nothing but music and a little bit of talk. You and I tried to make it a little more free form, and it's, we've lost a little bit
of
that.
We kept getting pushed.
We did. We did. We've lost a little bit of that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a different dynamic when you go from one person to two to three. And, you know, and as you know, Kendall, you get used to, good, bad, or indifferent, you get used to whoever it is you're sitting next to.
Do your listeners ever say, hey, we'd like a little more of you and a little less music?
Yeah. Oh, yes. All the time.
We had gotten research back, what was it, two years ago? That said, the more we talked, the more the numbers went up.
Mm-hmm.
We never followed through with that.
Right, right. There are people who are used to doing things a certain way and are afraid to veer a little bit.
Well, you know, the one thing I've had a chance to do in the last month since I left that other place is I've listened a lot. I've listened a lot all over the country, though.
Oh, okay.
And I've listened to different podcasts, mm-hmm, and what people are just so free to do. I mean, one guy in particular who I'm sure you've known for a while is comedian Mark Maron.
Mm-hmm.
His show right out of the garage at his house, and he has comedian friends on all the time. And it's just so freeing, this whole way of doing things. And we don't have to worry about playing commercials because we don't have any sponsors
now. Well, that'll come, and the show will be, you know, a tight 7 minutes.
Maybe this is the best of times right now.
That's right. Hello.
You're very active though on social media, Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff, and it's really worked to your advantage, hasn't it?
It has. No, it definitely has worked, and you don't think about it until you hear those people say, oh, yeah, I saw that clip on YouTube. It's like, oh, wow, I forgot that was on there. Yeah. There's a few of them. Oh, you're doing those videos in the morning. And, I mean, it's all shameless self-promotion. I mean, We have to.
That's great. What do you do? I haven't seen the videos in the morning.
I just do, you know, I really don't
Kendall
promote the show
doesn't really
so
know
much.
What we've done in the past.
Right.
But who are you guys, again?
He just came over here for the pumpkin bread.
Radio.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes, we were, Grandpa. We were.
When we're done, if you want to, you can get on the treadmill and work.
Thank
work
you.
A little
I'm using
bit.
It as a hanger right now.
I've got the big blue ball over there.
Nobody knows. We could be in a huge mansion. They don't know.
I think we should describe it differently from here on out.
Is that right?
Here in the spacious Tofty studios.
Yes, that's right, in the Tofty mansion.
Yeah. But seriously, I am going to turn on the treadmill here for
Kendall,
if you want to get on.
Ambient noise, is that it?
Yeah,
there you go.
This is the first time this treadmill has been turned on in 10 years.
Hop on, Kendall.
Let's see if this works.
It's not too fast for you. Be careful though, because I don't want you to get killed in my house.
Nice. Once you start walking on it slows down.
What are you saying, just, Carla?
I don't know.
What
I
do.
Keep walking, kid. Keep on walking.
You want me to turn it up?
Oh my gosh. I can figure this out.
You think? Don't wreck it.
I'm at 3.5.
3.5. That's pretty
good. It kind of feels like a space movie though.
So you can kind of get
it is pretty
3.8.
Good.
You can kind of get a sense for the size of the room, I think, now.
5.0.
Great. Now I have summer sausage breath next to me and sweat. That's beautiful.
All right. That's all right. Enough, Kendall.
That's right.
This is ridiculous.
That's 4 miles. Who's downstairs going, what in the...
What are they doing?
You all right, Kendall?
A little winded.
Yeah. All right. Now, we're going to have Kendall read a couple of pages worth of copy.
You know what? That's happened to me before on air, where I had to run into the studio and do a story, and you're out of breath, and it's really difficult.
Can I help with this story?
Yes.
Because Kendall was always running late. How about that? Always.
Really?
Always
running
late.
I never missed
late.
A newscast.
No, you did not. No, you didn't. Kendall was always the guy that showed up, and it was like, well, where have you been? Oh, man. You know what?
Drinking.
I got caught up, and I'm Sue Manteris, because she did morning. She did the morning news.
Sure.
They would start at 5 at the time, and we... We used to say by 7, Sue looked stunning because she would put her makeup on.
True story.
You know, yes.
That's a true story.
During the course of the show?
Uh-huh. Yes. There was one morning in particular I remember. You know, she's beautiful no matter what, but she looks like she's just gotten out of bed.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it comes back to me and I see this furious motion going on next to me like a little cartoon. There's hammering. And then it comes back and she's starting to look a little more made up. 3-4 stories in. She's still, she looks great. Yeah.
That is the beauty.
How could she go on? That's very un-TV like that she would
it
go on without
now.
The makeup.
I don't think it would happen now.
Sue also would be the one to, you know, slide off to the side and pour herself a bowl of cereal. honestly, it was just,
that's
it was,
hysterical.
She was quite the, and everybody had their little quirks. Everybody had their little quirks on the air.
With radio, we don't, you can't see what's happening.
Right.
If we have a problem, we had a former co-host, female co-host, who she started to choke.
Oh,
and she was, and we went to commercial break, and at the time, and you know who I'm talking about, it was the co-host before you, and I offered to give her the Heimlich maneuver, and she wouldn't let me.
Really?
She waved me off. Okay. She would rather die than have me put my hands on her.
I don't want you to feel my gut.
Yeah.
I don't want to choke. I feign choking oftentimes just so somebody will take me
and
grab me.
And I never saw it, I guess.
Whatever.
But,
hello? Choking. Everybody, like I say, everybody has their story, you know, when it comes to something like that. But by the same token, it makes you very real. It makes you very real when
or
you
Or in
do
some
that
cases,
in,
very unemployed.
Or, well,
yes.
Or
yes.
That.
Yes. Hello.
Or that.
The Hollywood Film Awards happened. And they televised these for the first time. I guess they've been going on for a while. They were really odd. Not only because they gave out the award. Everybody knew who was going to win. Come on up and get your award. So that was weird. There were a lot of celebrities. This is supposed to be the first award show of award season.
Mm-hmm.
And then Johnny Depp came up.
Now, and I did see this.
Oh, my gosh. It was painful.
Now, he's always, you know, shy and reclusive and the whole bit, but he was really, really hammered.
Yes, he was.
He
I
could
saw
hardly
that.
Walk.
That's the weirdest microphone I've ever seen in my life. Look at it. I mean, right? I'm not very good at this kind of thing. No. Watch, I'm going to read this thing. For decades, Shep Gordon has been one of the most beloved and respected talent managers in the music industry. And I have been very, very here. It's a real honor to pass this to him. Shep Gordon, please.
But it seems like things that should see the light of day, they don't anymore.
Right,
yes.
You know, they just don't.
Yeah.
I was just reading an article recently that the stars that your kids know, the big celebrities that your kids know, are on YouTube. They're not the celebrities that are on TV doing TV shows and even movies for that matter.
Yeah.
But they're Vine stars. You know, had I known that my career could be kicked off by 7 seconds of ass, I would have been so in there.
That's a band name, isn't it?
5 seconds of summer and 7 seconds of ass. As I always used to say, oh, talent will win out. Well, guess what, people? I hope you change the name of the show to The Bitter Show. How about just The Bitter Show? How about
Bitter
the
Show? Yeah.
I adore comedians. I, of course, adore Carla. And always have. I just think it's an art. I really do. So a couple of things come to mind. When you talk about your parents, have they ever seen you work and do stand-up?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
They've seen me a lot.
Okay. So,
So
your stuff is not G-rated.
No.
Is that harder when your parents are in the room?
My parents are, they were like, my mom passed away a couple years ago, but they were very much, in their day, they were kind of hippies, even way back when, maybe more farther
pretty,
back, maybe they
pretty
were
liberal.
Beatniks, very, very liberal. And my dad, of course, being an entertainer, musician, they were always very open, very open-minded.
Yeah, when you're in a band named The Gaylord.
Yeah, exactly. You've got to be open-minded.
Pretty open.
Yes. I was never really bothered by my parents seeing me. My dad would get nervous for me because he's from the business, and he'd get very nervous for me, and my mom would, you know, oh, knock it off, Don. Just, you know, when she knows what she's doing. And I didn't early on, but it bothered me more when friends would come in to see me because your parents will forgive you whatever you do or don't do, but your friends, they'll tell you you suck. and tell everybody else
your
you
friends
suck.
Would not. No, no, your friends.
No,
would.
They would. They would have back then. But it worked out. I knew I was going to be a comedian when I was like 12, 13 yeah. years old. Matter of fact,
did?
You want to know the first joke that I did? That and I wasn't young when I did it. I mean, it was one of the first things I did. I was probably 18, 19 years old. And the first joke that I wrote and did growing up in Nevada, of course, was, you know, that prostitution is legal. I still do it occasionally. Prostitution is legal. You ever wonder what hookers do on their nights off? Maybe just stand up. That was the first joke I wrote and got a laugh with, and my parents loved
that.
It. It's evolved even more.
You wrote
since
that
then,
when you were 18?
I was probably, when I actually wrote that, probably, oh gosh, I was in high school. I was probably 15 or 16 years old.
Wow.
When I wrote it. So yeah, that's the first joke that I did.
My favorite story about you is I've come to see you a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
And one time I came to see you, the comedian that preceded you bombed, and which happens, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
It was just, the room was dead. And I was feeling sorry for you. I thought, oh my gosh, Carla has to come out now. And it was amazing.
You realized that was Carla.
Yeah.
It was amazing to watch the room turn and the energy come into the room when she took the stage. And I thought, that has to be very,
how difficult is
very
that?
Satisfying.
It's satisfying, and it's hard to watch that.
Is
and,
it worse and, than if the first guy just killed?
There's, I'll be honest with some comics, there is a little jealousy when that first comic kills. It's like, yeah, geez, after that. It's hard to bring him back up because now they're annoyed or they're down or they're thinking that this is just a bad show.
Yeah.
So it does take a bit to bring them back up. It takes more work. I know I can do it.
As an audience member, though, I feel bad for that first guy.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
I'm hopeful that whoever is on second is good, but that it you really feel for that person.
I'm pretty confident. I'm not, you know, I've done fine. For me, I'm a success. I consider myself a huge success. I'm still doing comedy. I'll do it as long as I can walk out on that stage. But I'm pretty confident now in my ability. People ask if I get nervous. Of course you get, it's an adrenaline. It's
right.
Not a nervousness.
Right.
You know, Bob Hope used to get sick. He'd throw up before just about every show. And
even
I know
later?
That 'cause my even later.
Life?
Even
wow.
later. My dad worked with him quite often. He said he would get sick before every show. Hmm. That was how he loosened up, I guess. But I'm pretty confident in my ability. But you do. There's an adrenaline rush. And when you follow something like that, you have to really gear up and even raise your energy level.
Have
yeah.
you heard her? Carla tells a story every now and then about how she was about to go on. This was a big chance for her in Los Angeles when she was young and just starting out. And she was about to go up. And as often happens, a bigger name star, and in this case it was Robin Williams, jumped up on stage to work out some material. And of course
great.
He killed.
Yeah.
And you decided
to put it off again. It was my big chance.
Really?
At the Comedy Store. It took me a year. It took me a year to get this audition.
Wow.
At the time, it was a little different. At the time, you really had to bust your butt to try to get in to do time, and I finally got in there and drove down. I was living in Reno at the time, and that was, you know, quite the haul down there. Mm. And went in, and it was a Monday night, and sure enough, and quite a few comics had gone on, and it was me and another comic just waiting to go on, and Mitzi Shore came backstage and said, listen, Robin Williams stopped in, and this was just at the beginning of that Mork and Mindy frenzy.
Yeah.
He's gonna do some time. It was like, okay, all right. And he was going to do like 15 minutes, and he did, I don't know, it was like well over a half an hour. Because
wow.
He didn't know how to, he didn't do a short amount of time.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It was probably 45 minutes or so. And she said, you guys can go on after him if you want. I was like, why would we follow Robin Williams? No.
And did the other comic leave too?
No, he left too. Neither one of us went on. And then we had to rebook our audition. I think I came back about 6 months later because of that. I should have gone on. In hindsight, I wish I would have gone on because I could have said that, you know, I followed, I headlined for Robin Williams. I closed the show.
He was your warm-up.
But yes.
Yeah.
But I was 21 probably at the time.
Yeah.
21,
did you meet
22.
Him?
I did meet him, and he was an amazing guy. Even then, he was a very gracious. In that experience, people I know who knew him you know, the guy was larger than life, but he always just wanted, he wanted to be one of the guys mm-hmm. when he'd come into a comedy club. He just wanted to be one of the comics. Mm-hmm. And I think that was hard for him.
Yeah.
Not being looked at as that,
yeah.
you know, when he was backstage or in a green room. But I did get back on, and I
and
did
because he was kind of awkward, right?
Very
awkward.
He was awkward,
a little shy
yeah.
and, mm-hmm. and the whole bit. Yeah.
Yes, very. But yeah. man, you know, that's another example, too. I mean, a lot of comics, I met somebody just a couple of weeks ago for the first time, and we were talking, and this person said, "Are you neurotic like most comics?" I was like, "Well, that's a great icebreaker," but I don't. I'm less neurotic, way less neurotic than a lot of comics. I was pretty had a pretty normal life, and you know, even with Dad doing what he did, we were kind of the exception. He was pretty normal, you know. Though I thought everybody else's parents were weird.
Mm-hmm.
Their dads were weird. Because
they were mowing the lawn.
And they were, you know, they were going to work at like, you know, 8 or 9 in the morning. It was like, oh, your poor dad. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. He's gone all day? That's weird. I didn't understand it at all when I was a kid because my dad would go to work at, you know, 7 at night.
Yeah.
It was Ricky and Lucy. You know, that was my, you know, dad was going to the club. That's what you know.
Sure.
You know, yep. And so that was normal.
You working New Year's?
You know what? This is the first New Year's that I am not working. I've worked so many New Year's, and honest to God, that's about the worst night of
I
the comic tour.
I can only imagine.
That's horrible.
Yeah. He used to do those New Year's shows on the Strip every year. So for 13 years straight, I was out on the Strip. And people say to me, that must have been fun. No.
I've seen all that stuff in the people trying to get camera time.
Yes.
With whoever the anchor is.
Yeah. It was truly Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
That is the best way I can describe it because the first year, it's pretty exciting.
Mm-hmm.
You're out on the Strip.
Right.
There's fireworks. There's 300,000 people. Yeah. Wow, this is really cool. Year two. All right, here we are again. And a lot of people out here drinking and getting ready to ring in the new year. By the 7th or 8th year, you're like, one more time out here with drunk people.
Yeah.
And
you talk about YouTube
women who
footage.
I don't want flashing me.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes,
there's a lot of good YouTube footage of news anchors all over the country who have to elbow or punch someone who's trying to get on camera with them.
Well, luckily we were up on the perch, so I never had to
that's
be down with the people.
Good.
It is because as an anchor you have to be kind and you can't say not you toots
behind
you. How about you flash us? You can't do
it. It was never the girl I wanted to. Yeah.
I realize they're priceless for the viewer, but for you, gosh. The times you guys were hugged and kissed and flashed and
Have you had trouble with hecklers, with people who are just so blitzed that they are giving you trouble?
Yeah, I mean, my act, a lot of comics, their act really lends, you know, it lends itself to hecklers. Mm. Mine doesn't. However, yes, I've had several over time, and the worst are women. Women are the absolute worst. Guys, you can say something, they'll shut up. Mm. Women need to test you. They really need to test you. Whether it's if it's a female comic, they think that they're your friend. You know, we're friends. It's a girl. We're good. But they test you and they think, you know, we think when we've had a few drinks, especially, we can get away with a lot more. What's anybody going to do? I can't remember what I said to her, but it was a woman. They were in from Alaska and I was working in Sacramento, California. I remember that. And she just wouldn't shut up. She and her boyfriend. And he was a little quieter, but she would not shut up.
She drunk?
Drunk. Oh, very drunk. And I don't even remember what I said to her, but I said, basically enough. And I'm going to kick your ass. This is what she's saying from the audience. And I thought, okay, this is great. And after then she waited for me after the show to beat me up. And, you know, it's like, what? Really?
Wow.
Is this what we're doing now? And the club owner had to, you know, they had to all come in and Carla, we got you. You know, it's like, what? Really?
They carried you out?
Pretty much. They took me out a back door from the club. And that was one of the worst.
The last time we saw you at the Riv, there was a couple there. As we were going in, there were people getting ready to go in. And I thought they were going to be that couple. Mm-hmm. They were very loud. They were very drunk. Incredibly, when we got into the club, there they were sitting down up front. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, no. And they didn't say a word.
Okay, good.
It's just
good.
Amazing. Yeah. I don't know if they just got tired. And
oftentimes, the closer you are to the front, the quieter you are. You always think that too.
Right.
It's
that's
like,
interesting.
Oh, this, yeah. Where's it right up front? This is going to be great. This will be wonderful. And it's not when the comic's right there.
Oh, no. I made the mistake. I made the mistake one time. In fact, I saw him the other night. I was talking to Louis Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about you, as a matter of fact. But I made the mistake of being front row at his show one time.
Gosh.
And he picked me out. And he said, well, what do you do for a living? And this is back when I was on TV. And I couldn't think of anything else fast enough.
Oh.
And so I fell into the trap. I'm thinking, he's going to have a field day with this.
Oh,
and sure
yeah.
enough, he did. The
yeah.
next 30 minutes of material was about news anchors and everything else.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah.
My
wonderful.
Sister-in-law, we took them to see Adam Ferrara, the very funny comedian who was on Rescue Me, and he's been on a lot of other TV shows. We were in the front. They put us in the front row because I got those kind of passes, I guess, because I was working media or whatever it was, and I knew that was going to be bad because Adam Ferrara is somebody who uses the audience for sure. And I said, would you guys mind sitting closer than... Then Sue, Sue and I, he picked on my poor sister-in-law. It was just, there should have been a mercy rule at some point because he went about 15 minutes on her. I apologize for the next few years.
I'm sitting here thinking about all of this, but one of the last things I ever want to do is go see comedy. You know, maybe because, anything you do when you watch somebody do it or hear somebody do it, it's like, yeah, I probably could have done that better.
Yeah, yeah.
Or I'd rather be doing that than sitting here.
Yeah.
So it's very hard for me. And I have never been in that situation. I've never been picked on by a comedian. And I'm not the type of comic who picks on people either.
No, you bring them, what you do so well is you bring them into the act.
Yeah.
And for the rest of the act, you're referencing them and you're having fun with them.
Right.
And it just feels like it brings everybody in together.
Yeah, I noticed there was a lot of... The husband pointing to the wife. Yeah, you do that to me. Like she's saying up there.
Right. I truly do not know what it feels like to be on that end.
Yeah.
On the receiving end. I used to work with Bobby Slayton a lot, and he's just brutal. Brutal.
Yeah, the audience is his.
And I would sit there and watch him and just think, oh my gosh, this is, oh Lord, hilarious. But, you know, a lot of people, they can't take that. When people say, well, I'm a comedian, it's my job. Of course it is. It's our job to find funny in whatever it is. However, you can still offend and you can still hurt people.
Yeah,
you don't want to go to a show and be fearful of the comedian.
No, exactly. Yeah. No, it's not fun and it's so uncomfortable.
On the other side of it, as a comedian, I would want to have just a little notebook full of comebacks.
Yeah,
for
you do.
The hecklers.
You do. You definitely
do. Oh, yeah,
little arsenal. Yeah, shut up, stupid.
Big
that one doesn't work
lady.
As much. But yeah, well, I wouldn't do anything else. I don't know how to do anything else at this point. I don't. And I'm lucky. You know, it's funny. You talk about radio. I'm not a radio person. In the traditional
sense at all.
Well,
you are if it's done right, you are.
Well, yes. Well, I'm still looking for that.
Yeah.
But I'm lucky that I get to, you know, be a comedian on the radio. How about that? I have people ask me, you do radio? Are you a DJ? I have no idea what it's like. I was a DJ at a club when I first started doing radio.
All right, how about this? I'm a DJ not on the radio.
Yeah,
how's
see?
That for a title?
Well, you know what? Huh? You still are. You still are. If a tree falls in the woods, it still fell, okay? You still are.
And on that note, Carla Rae, we thank you for joining us this morning.
Well, thank you for having me,
on one of our earlier episodes of The Fake Show. And come back anytime. And by that, I mean every time.
I plan on it.
Seriously, that'd be great.
Yeah. It was great. Because I know, for those who don't know, Carla was already on the air this morning for several hours and working. And so this was really great of you to come over here and sit in one of the bedrooms of my house.
But I don't get to talk in that show, though.
I know. You seem really fresh.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm wide awake. I really am.
All right. Well, thank you again for stopping
Love
by.
You, Carla.
Absolutely.
The Fake Show was filmed before a live studio audience. Kendall Tenney's pompadour toupees are provided by the House of Marv Albert.